discussing some of the Talmidim of Ramchal. Another one of the, actually one of the greatest Talmidim Ramchal, or maybe we should modify that, it's a Talmud Chover of Ramban, of the Ramchal, meaning is a Talmud, also a Talmud Chover, which means a colleague of his. Matter of fact, according to some opinions, this particular person was also the Haskola of the Limud HaKabbalah to the Ramchal, and later on, Ramchal, so to speak, became sort of like a Rebbe, at least a colleague to this person, and that is Reb Moshe David Vali. It's an important name to remember because Moshe David Vali, in the last few decades, has become quite mufursim because many kizveyad have surfaced. Moshe David Vali, basically what they found is something like 15,000 pages. Close to 15,000 pages of Kizveyad. Most of them are Biurim Perushim on all of Tanakh. And the Perushim on Tanakh are on four levels, you know, which is known as the levels of Pardes. Pardes Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Soid. So you have Pshat, and also a very interesting insights, Apidech HaPshat, and then Remez, and then Drush, and then of course the Soid, which is Apidech HaKabbalah. And also interesting is that some Sfarim, actually, he wrote on a particular, some of the Sfarim in Tanakh, he wrote a number of Chiburim. So it's not just that he wrote all over Tanakh, but in certain areas of Tanakh, certain Sfarim of Tanakh, he actually wrote quite a number of Sfarim, more than one Sefer. And it became quite popular. The one that is involved a lot with the Ksavim of Moshe David Vali is someone that's saw by the name of Rabbi Yosef Spinner. It's credited to him. The fact is that as time goes along, a lot of work are being done on the Ksaviyah, on the manuscripts, and basically getting sponsors and so on and so forth, bringing to light the Moshe David Vali. The Moshe David Vali outlived the Ramchal. It's not saying much because Ramchal, as we know, passed away very, very young, just about the age of 40. And the Moshe David Vali was nifter in 1777. And you might remember that when the later Rabbonim of Padua, it was Ramadach Shmuel Gerundi who wrote an encyclopedic work regarding the life of the various Rabbonim in Italy. And not only, by the way, Rabbonim of Italy, but also various great scholars in Italy, which is called the Toldos Gedolei Yisrael, Toldos Gedolei Yisrael, which is of Padua. It's good to quote a little bit of the Loshen of Ramadach Shmuel Gerundi, who himself was a Rabbin Padua, but at a later Tkufa. Around the 1800s, just a little bit before that. And he writes as following. He writes regarding the Moshe David Vali, he says, Shumati niflois, I heard paladigy things mitreirosoi, chasidusoi, ukudushosoi. Well, your Talmud Muvik Venemon, he writes that he was the Talmud Muvik Venemon Besoi shel Hatana Holoikai Reb Chai Moshe Lasata Dramchal. The Moshe David Vali. Regarding Moshe David Vali, Hoyachochom Koilu, he was a chacham that encompassed all types of wisdom. Darshan Mufla, also tremendous Baal Darshan. Umekubal Olakai, a great Baal Mekubal. V'chibre Perish al Kol Tanakh al Derech Pardes. He wrote a Perish regarding all Tanakh. And also there's a Sefer HaLakutim, which is Ksaviyad and so on. Also there was a whole Sefer that he wrote in terms of dialogue and debating, he says, Christians. These things came out very often in those days, especially in Italy, which is the center, and therefore he wrote a lot about it, the various rejections and showing the Jewish point of view against the Neutrum, as he called it. And he says, he was a Shliach Tzibur in the Beis HaKnesses Sfarim. He was a Shliach Tzibur in the Beis HaKnesses Sfarim in Padua. And then he says, Veloma Toirim Umet, he always don't tell you standing, he would not sit. As a matter of fact, that reminds us, because the Gemara tells until the time of Reb Gamliel, when the Doiris were stronger, not become weaker, Torah was learned by Amida. Because Torah has to be learned the same way that Matan Torah Shus is coming up. And just like, you know, Vayaharam, right? Vayanu Vayamdu. Matan Torah was not sitting down. By Kabbalah Satorah, he even was standing. And so to the attitude of learning Torah is something that you give honor and reverence to Torah, and that's the Amida. He always learned Torah by Amida. He also did not allow himself to go to sleep until he made sure that any yid in any Beis HaKnesses in Padua already made it home safely, because he was mispalon, he davened that Yidden should, going through late at night, that he should not encounter any dangerous situation, no plight, and therefore he made sure Achakola Yehudim shall hakilos HaKadoshis chozol beis HaMisholam umispalo beyadom. The mispalo, imagine a Yid that took upon himself Yechrayas being mispalo, this is the way it was every night, being mispalo on behalf of Jews to make sure they come home safely. Moshe David Valley, Kedeshiri Unaleim Ro, Hashem Yishmerim Bechazdei, Hashem should protect them. And later, so this is, again, we're talking about the Moshe David Valley. Moshe David Valley, which I mentioned, which is it's a big schus that they say the last years that Kisveyad have emerged, and something that we mentioned that is one of the things that we hope when we were in Padua is to try to find, because the Matzeva had emerged regarding a Moshe David Valley, except as we mentioned, we did not know that there are five ancient Beis HaChaim in Padua, and therefore who knows in which one. I didn't know, but Daniel Baron that was there, his son was there, actually that's how we found out that there was actually a Matzeva, saw a picture of the Matzeva. But it was not, no indication though where, in which Beis HaChaim, the person that was with us, had no cheshek at all. I don't know if he knew. Baruch Hapam didn't want to go to any other of the Beis HaChaim. He was very exhausted. So just, could I just to mention just a little bit some of the, just a little bit of the sampling, I say, on the, not the Spardis, but the Chelik of Pshat, the Pei of Pardis, which you can relate to, a little bit of the little bit of the Vitae of Moshe David Valley. So I mention just a number of things. One of the things is, there's a Sefer called Mishneh Torah, in Parsha Sekev. That's the name of the Sefer. Devarim, Sefer Devarim is a Mishneh Torah, and the Sefer is called Mishneh Torah. So it brings there, you know, the Gemara Darshan's on the Pesuk, as Hashem Elokech Hatiro, Bekira. S comes L'Rabbis, comes to add. Everywhere in the Torah it says S comes to add. So what do you add as Hashem Elokech Hatiro? Who else are you supposed to fear? As Hashem Elokech Hatiro. So the Gemara tells her that Shimon HaMasayri, as a matter of fact, threw up his hands. He says, I don't know. And therefore he gave up on the career of trying to figure out what S means. But Rabbi Akiva came and said, as Hashem Elokech Hatiro, come to Rabbis Tamidei Chachomim. That the same way that there's a mitzvah, right, to stand in awe before Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's also a mitzvah to fear Talmid HaChachomim. It's a mitzvah of Yireh for Talmid HaChachomim. Es Hashem Elokech Hatiro. So that simply understood is like everybody learns, because the word S is L'Rabbis, so what are we going to be married? What can you add? Who else are you supposed to fear besides Kodesh Baruch Hu? Okay, Talmid HaChachomim. Moshe David Valley said, the word Tiro is Gematria Torah. Means you have to fear wherever there is Torah. Talmid HaChachomim, obviously they contain Torah. So it's Hashem Elokech Hatiro, therefore there is an illusion, there's a remez there, that one should have Moira, one should also, there's a mitzvah of Yireh in front of Talmid HaChachomim. Because the word Tiro itself, the Gematria Torah, is 611. So matter of fact, also goes and says another point. We know that the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that Kudshi Brichu V'Erai Sechadu, Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Torah is one. Which means, therefore, a Talmud Chacham who contains Torah is actually one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the Pesuk says, it's Hashem Elokech Hatiro, that there's a mitzvah that we should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah is one. So the mitzvah of Moira applies not only to Kodesh Baruch Hu, applies to the Torah. Well, a Talmud Chacham, right, who contains Torah, who has Torah, and represents Torah, and other than that, he could become a chetz of Torah, as a matter of fact. Talmud Chacham becomes a shlik Torah, as we know that the Baal Tanya tells us. And therefore, it's Hashem Elokech Hatiro, Tiro B'Gematria Torah. So therefore, there's a chiyuch to have a Moira from a Talmud Chacham. So this is, just one of the Torah that we have for Moshe David Valley. Another thing he says, which is a very fascinating thing, you know that Chazal tell us that there are two mitzvahs, you know, that we know of, two mitzvahs, I mean from one side of the spectrum to the other side, that have the schar and barichas yomim, shluch hakan, that's sending away the mother bird, and also, as we know, kibud aveim. But the illusion that the Torah uses regarding shluch hakan is not that a person, let's say, buys a bird, right? And then he puts up a nest, and puts the bird in the nest, and then the bird lays eggs. Shluch hakan, no. Forget, there's no mitzvah that way. It says, ki yikore kansipa, it has to be b'derech mikre. Ki yikore, the common example is, a person walks through a forest or in an area, and he happens to know that there's a nest, there's a bird's nest on a tree, and there's bonim there, or eggs, or bonim there, so there's a mitzvah shluch hakan. But the Gemara tells us, ki yikore pratlu mezumen. Ki yikore means, the mitzvah replies, ki yikore means b'derech mikre. Pratlu mezumen, but if you go ahead and you don't prepare it, then there's no mitzvah shluch hakan. In any case, so ki yikore means that it happens b'derech mikre. It happens b'derech mikre. And what's the schar at the end of the day when you do that mitzvah? The Torah says that you have a richas yomim. So Moshe David Valley says the following, that sometimes there are people that based upon their hanhoge, is very shaykh sometimes, based upon their hanhoge, that they are chayv misa b'dei shemayim. Who knows? Right? People die all the time for various reasons. It's not the car accident, it's not the heart attack, there's reasons. So sometimes when a person, let's say, is chayv misa l'shemayim, kosh baruch hu, b'roiv chazdoi, wants to give the person opportunity to be able, right, to be able to preempt and to save himself from that gezeira that's looming over his head. So what's going to do? He sends him a mitzvah down his way. He sends a mitzvah shluchekan, and the mitzvah and the person is mekayim that mitzvah. That mitzvah already creates an arichas yomim to the person. That's a kiyakari. That's kiyakari. Because Baruch Hu sent that mitzvah your way. That's kiyakari. It happens like b'derech mikra. In other words, there was a reason why Shemayim had it this way, that you should happen to chance upon this nest, Kansipa V'nachon. And the reason he says why? Because Baruch Hu wanted to give you another chance. But however, have a mitzvah that protects you. Have a mitzvah that is able to gain and give it to you. So this is the idea. The Baruch Hu shikta mintra mitzvah. You know, everyone sends a mitzvah his way. And Amela, so therefore, to save his life, that's the key occurring. It comes to happen by chance. What is that chance? The Baruch Hu saw to it that you should encounter this particular opportunity. You should have the schus of Rechas Yomim. So it's not some schar of Rechas Yomim, but rather what it is it was an opportunity even to remove a gzeira, that one might have had, and now comes Shluch HaKan and slaves his life, because no one really knows how far rooted or how deep this schar of any mitzvah goes, and what was behind the scenes, what took place. Interesting thing is also, let's give you just another example, also in the Sefer Mishnah Melech, regarding what the Torah talks about a Melech b'Yisrael. It says, Mekerav Achecho Tosa Melech HaMelech. A Melech b'Yisrael has to be a member of Klal Yisrael. Lesuchal Losei Solecho Ish Nochri. You cannot place upon yourself, you cannot appoint an Ish Nochri, someone who is a foreigner. Right, not even a ger, by the way, also cannot be a Melech b'Yisrael. Quite a number of limitations regarding that. This particular mitzvah. But look at the particular lotion. Leisuchal, you can't. What do you mean you can't? You could. You're not allowed to. What do you mean leisuchal? The Torah says, like, don't eat nevela. Right? The Torah doesn't say you can't eat it. I could. Don't eat it. What does the Torah say leisuchal? It's a very peculiar lotion. Leisuchal loses. The Torah should have said that it's also to do that. Right? That you can't. You shouldn't. It was idea leisuchal that you can't. I mean, you could. But you shouldn't do it. So Moshe Dovidali says the following. Avadi says, you have a bechir, you have a choice. And you can do whatever you want. If you want to decide to take a goy, take a Gentile or someone, you make him a melech. Right, you appoint him as a melech. What does Suha mean? Suha means that you can't means it says it's not going to work. And he gives a very beautiful mashal. In other words, because the tachlis of a melech, of course, is to be able to lead the people, whether it's in Muhammad, whether it's in battle. A melech b'Yisrael also has to serve as a role model, right, in uplifting the spiritual level of Klal Yisrael. That's why a melech b'Yisrael writes a Mishneh Torah, he writes two Sefer Torah. Right, one that he keeps with him, the Achas Sheyoitzis, right, one that goes, the Nechnes Asimah, one that goes and comes with him. And the Hoy Se'imah V'Kor V'Kor Yimechayov. The idea is a melech b'Yisrael is supposed to be as a model, right, of growing in Ruchnius and showing the people what you should aspire to. If you appoint, he says, an artificial melech, as he calls it, with an ish nachri, leisuchal means, physically be appointed, but leisuchal means it's not going to work, you can't. He said, it can't work. That means. And he gives a mashal. The mashal would be interesting. He even talks about something, but certainly in those days it was not possible, but to give you the mashal, he talks about heart transplants. Talking about heart transplants. Assuming you can do a heart transplant, one would understand, I mean, going in those days, imagine even to think about such a thing. You do a heart transplant, you would assume to take the heart of another human being, right, remove a heart for one human being, and transplant it into the body of a second human being. But imagine if he says you take a liver of a behemoth, and you transplant it, right, into the body of a human being. So the Moshe does that. You could, physically you could, but that person is not going to function like a human being. Maybe like a behemoth, he says. So I said, you can do the operation. But the Sucha always says, it can't work, he says. Same thing regarding a Melech b'Yisrael, he says. A Melech b'Yisrael, if you take a Nishnachri, the Sucha, said Nishtarbetin. Say, can't Nishtarbetin. That's what it means. That's the lesson of the Sucha. They mentioned just one more Nekuda, and that was which you give credit back to Daniel Baron, who actually translated a little bit some of the works, actually, of Moshe David Valley. And I believe that maybe we might have mentioned it also. And it's a fascinating shot of Moshe David Valley. It's something that the Torah predicts according to his interpretation. We know Yaakov Esav, you know, the rivals, the two twins. The Torah tells at the end of the day, what's going to happen is Verav, the older one, Yavod Ser, Esav, right? It may appear that Esav is not on top, but at the end of the day, the older one is going to serve the younger one. Esav is going to become subordinate. He's going to become subordinate to the younger one, to Yaakov Avinu. That's a simple translation. Esav, who's now is on top, who's the oppressor, who seems to be the ruler, and the Jewish people who are, of course, in Golos, so they are now second. But at the end of the days, when Mashiach will come, Verav, the Torah predicts that Verav Yahweh said that the older one will be the one that will serve the younger one. And he says a very fascinating thing, an unbelievable thing. The word Yahweh has two meanings. Yahweh means to work physically, Aveda, right, physically. But Yahweh also means, in Chumash, le'ovdei b'chalavavchem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does the le'ovdei mean? Aveda shebelev. It means spiritual service. What does Aveda mean? Sitting in the office. Aveda means kabonis. Means Aveda. Serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aveda is Hashem. What does Aveda is Hashem means? Serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah Gosha predicts that Esav, which is Edom, the Christians, who are they going to serve with their worship? Another Jew. Someone who comes out of Yaakov. The Rav, the only one, Esav, Yavoid. The Avoid of the service, the worship as a deity. Who is the Geshem? Sorry, the younger one. They can take one of the Jewish people and make him into a deity, and the older one is going to serve them. Half of the Torah, the Gifshati says. The Rav, Yavoid, sorry, says. The older one, Esav, at the end of the day, he's going to serve. He's going to worship. That's what Yavoid means. Who is it then? The soul, the younger one, and so on and so forth. So it gives a little bit of a sampling. Also, it was found, to mention that his panosa, by the way, his panosa was as a physician, with all the kedusha, with all the godless material, but it was not uncommon in those days, as I mentioned, the Rabbonim of Italy. The panosa was not from any Rabbonis, and by the way, when Ramchal left to Amsterdam, he was the one who actually took over. He was one of those who took over in terms of leading the yeshiva, of the Ramchal's yeshiva, and there was continuous correspondence between Ramchal and him. And as an aside, for panosa purposes, what he had was the melachas was refuah. And he did not want to accept, in great modesty, and being so humble as he was, did not want to accept Rabbonus. And it's written on his matzeva. The Torah Gedoyla Hador, a few lines of his matzeva. Loishem b'gedoylem, he had a name of Gedoylem among the Gedoyla Hador, among the greatest of the generation. Rav Moshe David Valley says here on the matzeva, among the greatest of the generation, he had a shame of Gedoylem. Moas, he despised, Moas. Moas b'chol kovod yikar teferis. He ran away from kovod. He despised anything of glory. Moza b'mnuchosoy pe'er v'keser, just in his own menucha. Maskil b'chol chokhma, he was intelligent in any wisdom, any disciplines of wisdom. Sofnas panech, was able to reveal all the hidden secrets, and so on. Ato ozov, now he left us. Belay b'teach, he can go with a secure heart. Liknas ba'moloi, to be able to acquire the schar that he deserves from his Torah. Schar v'oishet in olam haba, and so on. Just a little bit of a few lines of the matzeva of Rav Moshe David Valley. Alright, okay, so this is another one of the great Talmidim of Ramchal. As we say, from Talmidim Ramchal, we can have an idea who the Rebbe was. So we can go now, Rabbi, we go here to Derech Hashem, Daf Samachal. This is, by the way, Shir number 21. Daf Samachal within your editions, the beginning of Perek Shlishi. The title of Perek Shlishi, as you can see, is B'Hashgocha Ha'ishis, concerning Hashgocha Protis as it pertains to the individual. Because there's Hashgocha Protis that pertains to the klal, right, across the globe, and then there's Hashgocha Protis, which means divine providence that concerns and pertains to the individual. And it goes on, it begins, Aleph. Hinei kvar hikdamnu, So we have already prefaced She'inyan ha'avoyde she'nim sori adam. What is the avoyde? What is the avoyde sa'adam? What's expected of man here on this world? So Michal says we already have prefaced that. We have prefaced that. The inyan ha'avoyde. The inyan ha'avoyde which is she'nim sori adam is b'ma atoli b'ma she'nivru ba'ilam in yonet toiv in yonet rah. It hinges. Avoyde sa'ad hinges on the fact is that there is a balance here in the world. That is the balance in the world that we have in yonet that was created that pertain to good. And there's also here in the world things that pertain to bad. Shinibru. Both of these elements were created here in the world. The Husam Hogam Bineyam. A man was placed among them, among these two inyonim, inyoni toiv and inyoni ra. Man was placed among them. Ribcho Eloi Satoiv. That man should choose that which is good. However, said Ramchal, there's many, many different aspects to good in the world, and there's many, many protein regarding what's called bad in the world. Ulam prote inyone hatoiv rabim hem. All different types, the specific types of good are very numerous. And also, the chem prote inyone hara, and also the specific types of evil are also very, very numerous. And Ramchal points out, ki haloi kol midetoiv miklal hatoiv, which means every type of the good midah really it potentially exists in man. Now the man potentially has the ability to be able to have and to be able to bring out any midah toive of all the many different types of refined of good character traits. It's basically man has the potential for all of that, but he also has the potential for anything that's bad also. The hepher zeh kol midah. That any midah that one can imagine, man has the potential to fall into that trap as well. And he said, Derech Moshel. Let me give you a Moshel. Take, for example, let's take, he's choosing like one midah here. Hagayve is Echod Me'inyon Hara. Among the many, many different midah rois, let's choose Gaive. We're talking about pride. What person walks around about Gaive? So pride, we talk about Gaive among those that pertain to evil. And we're going to choose, therefore, on the opposite side, what's good, the opposite of pride of God, is Hanova. So the Hanova is Minyon HaToif. Says, while humility, of course, is among those matters that pertain to good. And we're going to point out also, we're going to have a little bit later on the sheet, we're going to see from Chaim Friedlander. So Chaim Friedlander points out, and he says that, interesting, that the word for midos or character traits, the word is midah. Right? That's in Hebrew. What's a midah? Midah toiv, midah ra. Midah means a character trait. But really the word midah means measure. The word midah means measure. So why is it that referring to a midah, a character trait, we call it, Lashon Kodesh is referred to as midah. So he points out, he says the following. Because midah, or the quality, is translated as measure. Why? Because the emissaries, as we'll see, there is no midah, there is no quality that's purely evil. It's only evil when it's not used in the proper measure. In other words, it means to say that sometimes when anova is misplaced, where you're not supposed to be an anova, and sometimes when gaive, Rabbi Isai, is sometimes required for certain purposes, as we'll see when we get later. So therefore, midah, which means a good quality, midah means having midah, a good quality or a bad quality, but also it's measure. You have to measure it. It's not purely evil, nor is it purely good either. It's only good when that's the right time to use it, when that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's the Tzorech HaShoah. If it's inappropriately used, in the wrong time, then another is called, in Islam, it's called another psula. It's a posula another. So therefore, and Gaiva, by the way, is called, in Sifrei Musa, Gaiva de Kedusha. There's such a thing. Vayigva libra v'dark Hashem. Comes times you have to take a stand. You have to speak the truth. And even though the public, right, public opinion might be against you, but you know that's wrong, you have to speak up. You say, I'm an honor, it's not for me to get up, it's not for me to do that, you know, after all, except who am I? No. But the time comes, is Vayigva libra, then you have to take on Gaiva. That's called Gaiva de Kedusha. So first I have to take on that midah. That's what made Pinchas great. Pinchas understood, and he saved Klal Yisrael, Heshir is Chamosi, because of Pinchas. He was the one that rose up. That was called Gaiva de Kedusha. That's what Pinchas had. It was called Gaiva de Kedusha. But otherwise, Pinchas would be the greatest honor in the world. Because someone's by nature about Gaiva, then when he does something like that, because Boko does not look at this, not L'Shem Shammai. In other words, to be a Kenoi, by the way, is not because someone who by nature is and is showing. Because someone who by nature happens to be a person who's always trying to pick a fight, that's just the opposite. Then the Kiddusha is just an excuse for him to be able to let out that natural kinoy that he has. So it's just the opposite. That's why Rashi says, as the Sforim point out, Bo'a Kosev Yichzei Achal Aharon, Pinchas Ben Alozo Ben Hanakoyen, Hanakoyen was Oyev Shon, Voidev Shon. People would say, yeah, Hanakoyen, he has a mid of aggressiveness, he has a short fuse, he's a person with a bad temper. No, it's just the opposite. Pinchas is a descendant of Aharon Kohen. He's Berechet Tevet, pretty a shy person, a quiet person. But Davke is such a person when he sees the opportunity. And he has the deathless, really Lashem Shemayim. That's a true Lashem Shemayim. That's what Pinchas got credit for. So any midah, none of us give out your thing. When? If that's the time, if that's the Tzorech Hashov, that's what Kishbacha wants. And the same thing with Gaiva. Gaiva is only evil, it's only bad when it's misplaced and it's misguided. Furthermore, another example of what's good and bad, in general. Rachmanis, minyan ha'toif, the midah of compassion. The purchase of compassion is one of, by the way, one of the simonim of being a yid. The Gemara says shloisha simonim. I said the Gemara Yevamis be'umazu. Rachmanim, baishonim, ve'goyim lechasodim. So Rachmanis avaru, Rachmanis minyan ha'toif. Have compassion among those, right, that pertain to good. V'hafcho v'achzoi. So what's the opposite? A person who's an achzor, a person who's cruel. A person who's cruel. So avaru, here same thing. Just give you an example. Regarding another, right? Another is a good thing, minyan ha'toiv, but not always. Where's the raya? Famous story in Tanakh, a very tragic, that was with Shaul HaMelech. The mitzvah with Shaul HaMelech was that Shmuel HaNavi, of course, came at Tzibur to Shaul HaMelech that he should go out and be mekayem the mitzvah of Mechias HaMelech. We said the Avtoreth Parsha Zohar. What happened? That Shaul defaulted and he allowed. Right? You love Agog, Melech HaMolech, and he left the Tzoyin and the Boker with the Noshim, with the top. And what, if you remember the Loshin that Shmuel says to Shaul HaMelech, he says to the Farmashin, Haloyim Kotten Ato Beinecho, Roy Shifte Yisrael Ato. It's not the time to be a nonav now. Not the time to be that I can't take charge, I'm not able to do it. You are Kotten Beinecho, you are Roy Shifte Yisrael. As a Roy Shifte Yisrael, it's not the time to be a Kotten. What about another? It's like, how would you meet another? The wrong time. The wrong time, humility is not. So the same thing with humility, Rabbi said, when it's exercised wrongly, like in the case of Shaul, that's inappropriate humility. It's inappropriate. However, in most cases, that's what Ramchal says, Gaiva is bad and Anova is good, because in most cases, it's true, in most cases, Gaiva is bad and Anova is something that's good. But there are situations which is the opposite. Anova is wrong, it's inappropriate, and Gaiva is the right thing in that particular situation. Furthermore, again, we're talking about Rachmanis, he says, that's Unyan HaTov. And Midas HaChzoris is the opposite. Midas HaChzoris, of course, is considered to be bad. Ha'histapkus, fa'simcha b'chelkoi minyan ha'toiv. A third example. A person's attitude, he should have satisfaction. A person should have satisfaction, right, with what he has. Not to be someone who always looks for more and more. To pursue more and more. Ha'histapkus, you say a person's supposed to be a mistapik b'mu'it. Should be satisfied. A person who has satisfaction and joy with one's lot, right? That pertains to good. There's even a bigger madriga in that. What's the simple translation? And Moshe is, which is true about it, that's the Poshup Shad. A person who has that you can have, right? You will have, you can own. Doesn't make a difference how much you own. But if you're not happy, you're not a Moshe. If you're not happy, you're not a Moshe. And yet, if someone can have very little, right, or just average, and if he's happy, that's called Oisha. That's simple pshat. Eiz Oisha Samer Bechalkoi. He's a bigger madrega. And Oisha is someone, not only he's satisfied with what he has simcha when somebody else has something. That's a big madrega. Not only you're not jealous, you have simcha that somebody else has. Eiz Oisha Samer Bechalkoi, somebody else is chelik. That's Gavali Gersha. Because someone who's so secure in what he has, that he allows room in his heart to have simcha not only for his own good fortune, whatever it is, he's satisfied, but also has simcha b'chelko, has simcha also in somebody else's. So that's his tapkus. His tapkus is a midatoyve. Da'hofcha, but the opposite, he says, someone does not have midas his tapkus. So the opposite, he says, is minyan hara. Then when he goes to the minyan hara, in the Mesillas Yeshayim, by the way, Ramchal writes there in Perek Yud Aleph. So Mesillas Rishon, so Ramchal, you know, many Rishon, Ramchal sometimes elaborates more on a topic in another sefer, and just mentions it here, and just in the opposite. So sometimes it fills in a different sefer, because that's the main point in a different sefer. So Mesillas Rishon happens to be in Perek Yud Aleph, he talks about. He writes that, for example, the pursuit of Kovod. Right? A pursuit of COVID, he says, pushes a person, he said, to chase after luxuries. Because you see right over here, he says, point to Amidus. It holds to also for all other Amidus. And he's going to point out soon, he says, what it leads to. When a person basically is not a mistopic bemuid. A person basically keeps looking for more and more. A person, a person who looks for COVID, who's a rei devak like COVID. So eventually that pushes the person also to chase after luxuries. He said, because if not for his honor, if a person wouldn't be pursuing honor, he would be satisfied to eat whatever's available, he'd be satisfied to wear whatever's necessary, he'd be able to satisfy to live in a house that protects him, you know, that's livable. But if someone is a rate of achala kovet, so then of course his eyes are for other things, more than he really needs, and therefore pushes a person, just rate of a person just keeps driving him. You know, there's a chazal that says that yesh lo mona rates a masayim. If a person has a mona, yesh lo mona, a person has a mona, but their car is not satisfied. If he has a mona, before he had the mona, let's say, loosely translated, was 100 zuzin. Yeah. Person has a mona, one mona, $100. Yesh lo masayim, he wants 200. And then when he has 200, he wants double always. He wants 400, not 300, he wants only 400. Whatever he has, he wants double. Yesh lo mona, rates a masayim. Chazal put that as, this is really supposed to be the downside of man. The downside of man. Human nature. But unless you work on yourself. Yesh lo mona, a person has a mona, he has $100, rates him a sign, he was 200. So this happens to be really human nature. So what is really the musa or the deficiency? If this is really human nature, what is the main chasan in this yesh lo mona, rates him a sign? Mishgich of Lakewood, Muslim Bachfeld, wants to point it out, he says. Yesh lo mona, rates him a sign, no, that's human nature. The problem is with the first part, not the rates him a sign. The problem is yesh lo mona, he thinks that he has the mona. You don't have the mona, you don't know what you have. Today you could have it, tomorrow you don't have it. You may have it another day, and could be today you don't have it, tomorrow you will have. The problem is yesh lo mona, you think you have a mona already, that's why you want Messiah. If you would know that the mona that you have itself is a gift, you would be looking for more. But you have already a gift. It's not guaranteed what you have either. The problem is yesh lo mona. You think you have the mona. It's because yesh lo mona, because you think you have the mona, that's already some Messiah, now you want 200. But if you would realize you don't even have the mona, the $100 you have in your hand, you don't really have it. You have it, but you're not secure with that. It's up to Kodesh Baruch Hu every day. That depends how you're going to have it or not going to have it. Then you wouldn't have the rights of Messiah issue. So the components will go further now. So now, Ramchal goes on to point out how these different qualities, these different middos, good and bad, how it affects what happens to a person. Because he gave actually three examples. Gaiva he gave an example between Gaiva and another. Gave an example of midas hestapkus, so a person should make do with his lot. Should be satisfied. And the opposite, where a person is always driven for more. Right? He gives this example. Just want to give just another nekuda I wanted to mention here, and that is regarding the person who has midas hestapkus. There's a sefer called Afike Yehuda. Sefer Afike Yehuda is a mechaber on Drush that lived hundreds of years ago. And the sefer that Afike Yehuda, he writes as follows. He writes, the Melech says in Tehillim, Sameach nefesh avadecha ki elecha nafshi esa. Sameach nefesh avdecho ki eilecho nafshi esa. So the Afik Yehuda says the following. Midas topic is that a person should be satisfied with what he has. Should be a mistopic bemuit. That's when it comes to Gashmias. With Gashmias is to be satisfied with what you have. When it comes to Ruchnias, he says, you should never be satisfied. Even let's say, if he had the good fortune to finish Shas, he should be satisfied. Finish it again. Or maybe, the first time I learned it without Tosfos, maybe next time I learned it with Tosfos. And even if I did it already with Tosfos, maybe now with Mefarshim. There's no end to how much a person can take to grow. Midas hestapkus, that a person should be satisfied, is only when it comes to gashmis, to material gains. When it comes to ruchnis, a person should never be satisfied. So he said like this, Sameach nefesh avadecho. Nefesh is lashon from wanting. Nefesh is from wanting. Avraham Avinu said, remember to the Bnei Ches, in yeshes nafshechem, Migbaris Nesim Afam. What do you mean Yeshus Nafshechem? If you will want, you would agree. Yeshus Nafshechem. Nefesh means Rotsin. Sameach Nefesh Arecho. The Ramah says, give my Nefesh my Ritzayinus happiness. My Ritzayinus should be happy. Ki Eilecho Nafshi Esau. It's only when it comes to you that I want to continue to grow and grow. When it comes to Gashmi, it says, Dafik Yehuda, Sameach. Give me the Mida of Simcha. Give me the attribute of being happy. I should be content. Give me the contentment when it comes to my personal needs. But ki eilecho nafshi esa. But when it comes to you serving you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I should not be content. But eilecho nafshi esa, I should be driven to want to rise more and more, going higher and higher. And as it shows, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was an old chassid from the Alta Alta Vision Surah, the Havas Yisrael. Havas Yisrael was the great grandfather already from behind the division service. The great grandfather. He said on Yiddish, he says, Abyssal zon izan zivainig and asach zon izan zifil. Whatever Kodesh Baruch gives you, a little bit shouldn't be too little, and a lot shouldn't be too much. It means whatever Kodesh Baruch gives you, know how to deal with it. That's the Nekudah. That's the philosophy in life. All right. So now we go further. Vine shi'ar ha'chokhmo yoyno. Kodesh Baruch Hu, with his great wisdom, HaChokhma Yoyne means his divine wisdom. Kodesh Baruch Hu appraised the situation. Shi'awa means Kodesh Baruch Hu appraised. He appraised the situation. Kol Prata Inyone Mezeh Hamin Shiruim Lomotz. In other words, all the specific matters that we just said, there are things in the world that pertain to good, there are things in the world that pertain to bad. Kodesh Baruch Hu decided, by the way, who should have which Nisoyim. The fact is, everyone has his Nisoyim. Every person goes through challenges. But you find out different people have different challenges. Kodesh Baruch Hu, in his divine wisdom, decided what your mission is in life. And based upon what your mission is, why you came down to this world, it is therefore your Nisoyim, Kodesh Baruch Hu puts you into these various situations, and now it's your avodah to try to overcome them, as he points out here. He says, V'lipol efshirusom b'choik hu enoshius. Kodesh Baruch Hu therefore arranged it that the efshirusom, right, that the prospect of possibility within human nature, with human nature, that means to say is, Kodesh Baruch Hu's desire was that any possible good and bad be found among human beings. Be found among human beings. With the tachlis or ikrish of zecharim b'mkoyim, based upon the primary purpose, that is, that a person is placed within a context of good and bad to enable him to acquire perfection. That's the avodah. Now, v'imtzio oisom b'chol b'chinoseim. Kodesh Baruch Hu brought these traits, good ones, bad ones, he brought them into existence with all their characteristics. Which means to say, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, first of all, again, Kodesh Baruch Hu evaluated with his Chokhma Yoyno what qualities were possible for man. Kodesh Baruch Hu evaluated what qualities were possible for man. And then Hashem brought it into existence. See, by saying, the factors of these traits, the effects that they have, and everything that's associated with it, which means environment, situation, is because of someone that caused you to come into to fall into a situation. You travel to a distant country, and in that area, something happened to you. That's called Sibuseyim Imisodaveyim. There are all different types of factors and effects that put you in a certain Nisoyim. The Chokaka Ef Shirusim Beldom. Kodesh Baruch Hu established the possibility of all these different traits, good or bad, right? Was established with a man, as we have written, he says. Which means that every man is a combination of good and bad characteristics. Fine. Now, the Omnom, however, that in order that all of these matters exist, it was necessary that there has to exist different circumstances among people, which means not every character trait actually comes out in a single situation. And therefore it means Kodesh Baruch Hu had to create diverse situations to allow for the possibilities of all traits to be able to come out and to surface somewhere. All of them is a test for man. All of them is a test for man. Everything good in the world, everything bad in the world is a test for man. By allowing all of these specific things, also, and giving man the courage to strengthen himself. Have the ability, if he wants to be able to grab hold of the good. So the kitzur, the bottom line is, because Kodesh Baruch Hu wants man to be challenged.
That's the bottom line.
Baruch Hu is meant to be challenged by as many traits we see as possible. And being that there are so many possible characteristics available, so mankind therefore has to face various situations in order that all the good traits can find expression. Not all good traits find expression in one area or one place. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu therefore sees to it that we have all different types of situations. And the same thing also regarding the bad situations which present these various challenges. So here he gives you, he says, some illustrations of someone who is an Osher, right, and he misuses it, and someone who is an Oni, unfortunately, and how he misuses it. So here he goes on. Here you find, right? Different situations. Someone is an up situation. Someone is a down situation. Everyone has a challenge. Just make a difference. Where are you? You're on down or top. Every person has a challenge. He goes on to point out how. If, let's say, assume that there were no wealthy or poor people in the world, and there were no rich and there were no poor people in the world, there would be no opportunity for a man to demonstrate being a rachman or being cruel. And if there's no rich and there's no poor, then you don't have the opportunity to express rachmanis. You don't have to whom to give. No one, there's no poor, there's no rich. You're not able to give. There's no poor, no rich. So where are you going to have the opportunity to demonstrate being merciful or being cruel? But now, but now there are rich and there are poor. So now the Osher is being tested with his wealth. What's the test? Either imis achzor al ha'oni atzorach loy, will he act cruelly toward the poor person who needs him? Right? Or yimirachim olof, or whether he'll be merciful to him. So which means to say, therefore, Ashir is therefore, says Ramchal, creates the possibility of demonstrating the ability, right, of being a rachman. From Chalp and Trap, because there is the Rachmanis and the Zachzoris, as he said in the previous. So now, being an Osher gives you now, gives you that challenge. Being an Osher is an example of giving you that challenge of either being a Rachman or being an Azor. And also the Oni. The Chen Yenusa Oni. Similarly, the poor person also is being tested. How is he being tested? In Yistapik Bemur Chibiyodoi. Interesting thing. Will he be satisfied with the little that he has? The yoyde lolokov doesn't mean you're not to be mispalach because Baruch will give me more. It doesn't mean that. But the end of the day is the person's mekabel be'ahava. The end of the day, be mekabel be'ahava. And the yoyde lolokov, and thank Hashem what you have. Thank Hashem what you have. Remember a couple of months ago, we mentioned Reb Zisha, you know, the big Baal Moses, the brother of Reb Meilach, you know, two great tzaddikim, tzaddikim hador, manish, both of them, two holy brothers. And Reb Zisha was poor, was an oni shebaniyim, tremendous oni he was. Right, and he was from the tzaddikim hador. And Reb Zisha, many times he would go hungry. So he said to Beshlein, I don't have what to eat, but I thank you for the appetite. How many people are there don't have an appetite, right? They would like to eat. They have a well-stocked pantry, fridge, but never they can't eat. Problems, stomach problems, no teeth, trauma, hospital issues, and so on and so forth. So you thank the body for everything that you have, you thank Hashem. That's the test of the Oni. That which you do have, are you going to thank Hashem for that? Or is the opposite going to be true? Depends on how you're going to deal with it. Yeah, and by the way, again, Ramchal, in Perek 8, which is the 8th Perek of the Sils Yisharim, he points out that a Oni is obligated to realize that even in this poverty, Hashem supplies the needs, sometimes al pines, does not allow him to die of hunger. So even Mabuch, he's not an Oni, but upon him, Hashem keeps him alive. You thank Hashem for that. Oyegi HaOsher said another thing about the Yosher. Another Nisayon that an Osher will go through. The Osher, the Ashir is the wealth. The Osher Nisayon will be a test to an Osher. Liroi si miyorim boy liboy, to see if he becomes a Balgaiva. Right? It's not an easy thing. The person's an Osher, right? Expects to be honored all the time. People to look up to him. People to give him covet. Right? He's got the nicest aliyah and so on and so forth. People should talk about him. Right? These are the things. So Liroi si miyorim boy. So this was an Nisayon. He doesn't realize. This was an Nisayon for him. This was a test for him. Wealth, because wealth gave a person. So among his decisions, we'll also see how is he going to react. How's he going to deal with it? How is he going to deal with that Ashiras? So in other words, so the state of wealth, says Ramchal, creates a possibility of demonstrating, right, whether you're going to have pride or humility. How are you going to deal in this matzav of Ashiras? Or now that you are not sure, you can try to acquire all the vanities of the world, all the narishkeit, he says, all the unnecessary luxuries, right? Or you can be involved in activities, right, which are empty of any real meaning, and so on and so forth. Where the Ashir is going to lead to you? The Yazov, he says, the Yazov, and he should leave, he says, as Avodah is Boyer is Baruch, or maybe it'll cause him, Chaz Hashem, to abandon his Yiddishkeit. To abandon his service to Hashem, or even if not going to abandon his Yiddishkeit, it'll certainly, right, weaken. He'll be busy with other things. Now that he has all this Ashiris, it's going to cause him to stray. And instead of dedicating more time to service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's now going to balance his day different, right? He's going to give extra time or take away some of the time that he might have used for Avodah Hashem. He's going to use it now on the side of all that Ashiris. Or, what's the other side? The Im Kol Osho, maybe conversely, right? He'll know what to do with his Ashiris. It'll become clear to him that what? That Yir Ono V'Nichne, he'll be modest and he'll be humble. Umoyas Behav Le'olam. And he'll despise, he says, all the Havolim of this world. Ubeche Batei La'Avoido. And instead he'll choose a life of Teire and Avoidus Hashem. For example, Rav Yudah Nosi, Rabbeinu HaKodesh. He was the wealthiest person. He was one of the wealthiest person the Gemara tells us in the generation of Yudah Nosi. And what did the Gemara say in Ksubas when he passed away? He threw up both of his hands, his 10 fingers, Eser Etzboyos, and he said, Rabbi Shalom, you see my 10 fingers? You are made. You can give aid to what that was not Nehenim Oilam Azeh Ke'ed B'Ketana. For all the Sashiras that he had, it was not for his own personal use, but rather it was to be able to use it for Avodas Hashem. And Avada, you know, of course Rabbeinu Kodesh, he ate during his lifetime, but what he meant is to say is whatever he did was for the sake of Lashem Shemayim, to fulfill his role as a Nasi, to promote Kavod Shemayim, to promote Kavod HaTorah, to be as a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's going to be the test of his Ashir. And the same thing, Tak, is true for anything of a similar nature. That the circumstances that are placed before a person are to test them, to see how he will react to them. So that becomes this is the situation. So what did they say, Bishem Rav Chaim Brusker? We might have mentioned it once, but it's good to mention it in context again. It was a Yidah Noisher, a Yidah Givir, a wealthy person. And by the way, he knew how to use his wealth. He bemis, he was machazik aniyim, he was machazik almonos, he distributed, he gave a lot of tzedakah, and no one would have a taina, because he could have given more. He really was the shliach neman, but of course what we gave him, to be able to use it for the right things. And then the wheels turned, he lost everything that he had, and became an oni. They came to ask with Chaim. Chaim Brisky said, this person, Chaim, we all know him, who would be a better gabbai in tzedakah? Because Baruch Hu wants to entrust money to someone to do the right thing. There's nobody better than him. Why would Baruch Hu take away the money? Who's better than him? Why is he now in the matzav of Anias? So Rav Chaim said, of course it could be many cheshbonim, we never know the cheshbonim shemayim, but Rav Chaim said the following verb. He said, this was a university. He passed the test of Ashiris. Now he goes to the second course. How does he pass the test of Anias? That's the word of lesson. You hear it? There's a test, there's a challenge. He passed the test of Ashiris. Now comes the next course. How's he going to deal with Anias in this world? So it's nothing for nothing here. This is a cheshbon here. Because Baruch Hu gives us different things and throws things our way. If we pass one, comes another one, comes a different one. And of course, at the end of the day, Zerichet to be Matzliach, as Ramchal says, we cannot imagine, he says, to the extent of the great scharis of Olam Haba, which have no asoga in all of Olam Hazeh, have an idea what that means. We take a look, Rabbi, here at the sheet a little bit. Let's take a look. We start here. We start here with the. We had the words of Ramchal with the first item here, right? Derech Hashem. Right? Derech Hashem. Ramchal, we just had a moment ago. Ramchal said, Kaloi kol mida toiva miklal hatoiv, which means every possible mida toiva is in the potential of man. Man has the ability, any mida toiva is within the potential. Kaloi kol mida toiva miklal hatoiv, hepech zeh kol mida ra. Also, man has the potential for any mida ra. There's no mida ra that man really does not have within him a potential for it. So as we pointed out, we actually spoke it out, but this is from Chaim Friedlander from Sefer Derech L'Chaim, that the truth is, it's not always so. Evil is not purely evil, and what's called good is not purely good, what we think is good. A guide is not always evil, and a nova is not always good. Let's take a look over here. Mida is Meloshin Medida, as we said. Mida is Meloshin Measure. Mida means a quality, right? You have a good quality. You have a good character trait. But the word Mida means Medida, to measure. Ein Shum Mida She'iro B'Tachlis. Chaim Friedlander was a Mashgiach in Ponovich in Yisrael Bnei Brach. Zichron Avrocha. Ein Shum Mida She'iro B'Tachlis. There's no Mida that's purely bad. Hiro is only bad. Rakim Hiloi B'Shir HaNochon. If it's not with the proper shear, then it's bad. So he says to the Ashlohovins, we have to understand. Shekan Omar, Hidram Chal, why Hidram Chal makes a blanket statement, Hagayv is Echot Mi'inyone Hora. It's not exactly that. But we Metzina, we know Gav Toiv, we know Gav is Toiv also. Tekosa Vayig Balibah B'Dark Hashem. Tekosa Vayig Balibah B'Dark Hashem, that what? When it comes to Dark Hashem, the Novi says, the Pesuk says, Divra Yomim, that then you have to raise up, you have to stand up for what's right. So Gaiva is also good in the right time. So why does Ramchal say here that Gaiva is clearly raw? He points out, as a matter of fact, here you see in the parentheses from the Sefer Ochas Sadikim, Shah HaGaiva, Shedibra B'maylas Gaiva Zu. This Gaiva that's positive, this positive Gaiva. Me'idach on the other side, Omar Poim, Ramchal said over here, that if Hanover Minyona HaToiv, as if to say, Hanover humility is always good. Well, we know it's not the case. Umatzuma, we find she'anova yisera, extra anova, extreme anova is psula. Meshoma Shmuel Shol, as we spoke out before, Shmuel Novi said to Shol, "Haloyim katan nata beinecho. If you are concerned, if you caught your attitude is katan katnus, why should this all out? And then we should have gone out and fight Amalek. Shol was your own of Godel. Shol was a tremendous own of the Nech Balakelin. When the people saw, you see, the people did not want to destroy the tzoyin of Amalek, so he should have gotten up with the strength of Gaiva, the Kedusha. Olav Shaul HaMelech should have thrown the Anor on the side, he should have put the Anivis on the side. V'yishtamish b'midas ha-Gaiva, should worship this world, please takif. When he come al Rosinon, and not right, and not to fall, and to become subordinate, and nichna, to the will of the people, forget, the will of the people should be nichna to him. So you see that Anov is not purely good, and Gaiva is not purely bad. So why does Ramchal say Gaiva is bad? Because in most cases, Gaiva is bad. And in most cases, Anov is good. But there are exceptions. Elo, Kan Kavanosa, Ramchal's Kavanis, She Gaiva hi bederach klal ro. Generally speaking. But of course, the Yivali Bedak Hashem comes the time which you have to get up and use Midas Gaiva. Avila Shlo Pa'omim, right? He chiyuv is in a chusay. So even though sometimes Gaiva is positive and it's necessary, but the derech klal is bad. So he calls it a bad midah. The chen anova. Anova also. Beroiv ruba midah toiva. And so on all the midos. We talk about roiv, but it's not exclusive. There's no such thing. So, b'kitzer, the way to say it right is, there's no such thing as a good midah or a bad midah. It all depends how you use it and when you use it and what's necessary at the time. What Hashem wants at the time, if Hashem wants anova, then it's good. If Hashem wants gaiva, then the gaiva is good. Anova is bad. So not your thing is good midah or bad midah. It all depends how you use it and when you use it and what the Seirach HaShoy is, what's the need of the time, and so on and so forth. What we're going to do over here is, I'll skip a little bit here, I'll show for Moshe Feinstein, look here, go to the left, number 4. Sefer Dorash Moshe, in Parshas Chukas. Mor Aduma, if you know, had contradictory properties. It was Matar Tameim. The task of the Mor Aduma was to purify those that were Tomei. Now, anybody who became contaminated through a mace, the only way, that's what we ought to make mace today. Because you can go to the mikveh 500 times, it's not going to remove tumas mace. The only thing that can remove tumas mace is by having the ashes of the kraduma mixed with the mayim chayim and to be sprinkled on the person's tumas mace. So the kraduma, the ash of the kraduma was metar tameim, but the people who was mesasik, they became tomei. It's metar tameim or metar tameim. Right? So they have contradictory properties. And the Torah begins, remember, zois chukas ha-Torah. You should say Zos Chukas HaPorah. We're talking about the Poradum over here. For example, Pesach Sheni, the Torah says Zos Chukas HaPesach. Don't say Zos Chukas HaTorah, Torah Pesach. So say Zos Chukas HaPesach. So here too, you should say Zos Chukas HaPorah. Or Chaim Kodesh asks the same question. Why is it saying here Zos Chukas HaTorah? Let's take a look. Zos Chukas HaTorah. Loshin Zeh Mashma, Shehu, the Dinam of Poraduma, is Chukas Kol HaTorah. Shlonema doesn't say Zos Chukas HaTahara. Or should say, let's say Zos Chukas HaPorah, Chukas HaTahara. Like you find Zos Chukas HaPesach. The Nira, listen to what the Moshe says. Moshe's mom is saying, we're saying. There's no such thing, says the Moshe, find as a good midah or a bad midah. He gives you a number of illustrations. In other words, every midah is contradictory. Metar temenu, metar metarim. In the right time, it's tohar. In the wrong time, it's tomei. So Zoich Chukas HaTorah, which you see by Poraduma, is also true in the entire Torah. Just like Poraduma, right? Sometimes it's Tomei and sometimes it's Torah. Zoich, this idea that it could have, right? It could have actually dual properties. Tahar and Tumah, the same thing. Could be Tahar. The same thing as Kol HaTorah. We take any midah in Kol HaTorah. Sometimes it's Torah, sometimes it's Torah. Now look at the examples over here. Venire, says the Moshe, Shulohayr Shakola Torah who bederach zed the Torah. The entire Torah goes in the same mahalach of Paraduma. Shibatar Tameim Umatama Torah. It purifies and it contaminates. Hainu. Shibachol Mido Mido, Yochol Vitzorach Lakai Mitzvah Hashem. Every mid is supposed to be used. Every mid that Kaibahu created within man is supposed to be used. The Chavishom Abur. Listen to this. The guy the al chaveiro. You know what it means? Moshe says very beautifully. Listen to this. We always talk about in Pirkei Avos, a person, right, should distance himself from covet. Should be a bereich min covet. As a matter of fact, what does the Mishnah say? Call a covet. If you're pursuing covet, I call it bereich menet. The covet's gonna run away. Call a bereich min covet, right? Person supposed to be a bereich min covet. Person should despise covet. Person despise covet. And Moshe says, your own covet, you should despise covet. But when it comes to the covet of your chaver, forget. Covet should be very choshev. Should be mechaber him. Be careful how you speak to him. You should honor him. Anivus is on your own covet. But on your chaver's covet, be a gaiver. Gaiver you should use for your chaver's covet. So anivus and gaiver at the same time. On your own covet, be an honor. Be mevatel, zizadach mevatel, don't be makfit. But on your chaver's covet, covet should be choshev. Should have gaiver. On your chaver's covet should be gaiver. Look what he says again. Hainu, she is on the oid be covered chadeiro. You should be very careful with chavis covered. The yizbor, right? And you should believe she chadeiro itzorach lahakvid. Afal mashlo yichadu koror. Your chaver, right? Your chaver, you have to imagine we'll have hakpoda. The roof is not going to get the proper cover. So your chavis covered, you have to realize that that might hurt him. Your own cover, you can be mevatel, but you can't be mevatel on your chavis covered. The nimtzor, such an attitude, it comes out. She oivid Hashem mila nova. Right? So Aina Makbira covered Atsmoy, Mitsarechod, he's serving Hashem with the mid of another. Regarding his own covet, he's using mid another. But Midasai Gaiva he's using, so covered Khaver, Makbir Kamai Bal Gaiva. And his Khabar's covet is about Gaiva, not in his own covet. Bechem, who the mid is Hapazul Mitsloka. Another thing, Abesai. Everyone's mentioned one of the deficient or negative midis by a Yid is someone who's a Kamsan. Kamsan is someone who's tight fisted. Somebody's tight-fisted, does not want to share anything that he has. It's a lot of notorious, my sick points, says Yotcho, my sick points, says Yotcho, right? Mochicho ha'evyein. Mosan titen loy. V'layin ala vodcho besitcho loy. A person should not be a kamsen, but remember, Rabbeinu Tam already, going back, you know, 800 years, Rabbeinu Tam, Sefer Yosha writes, that among all the terrible middes, says kamson is a terrible middle, because it means you're mamish into yourself. Kamsona, says Rabbeinu Tam, is a terrible, terrible midah. A kamsen. So what's the opposite? So the illusion that we use, a person should be a pazarin. Pazarin means that what? That you should? You spread your good fortune. The Moshe says you could be a pazarin, he says, of Dan Geld, not of Yenim's Geld. Of Yenim's Geld, you should be a kamsen. But come to last money, a proof of somebody else that should be choshev to you. On your own money, he says, you can be a pazarin. So here's the thing. Pazronis and Kamsonis. Look at this. So Moshe said, V'chein b'midis ha-pazron with tzedakah. She yitin ma'iser v'yoyser, give ma'iser, give more. V'ashal chadeo yekamsen, he says. Ad she yachshed, shekzeros purtikul unayt l'avshed. And so on and so forth. Another Moshe said, B'tochen z'agvaldi yemide. I added that more. B'tochen z'agvaldi yemide. B'tochen z'agvaldi yemide. B'tochen z'agvaldi yemide when a person is challenged with situations. Right, so the Chodesh Alvavis has a whole Shara B'tochen. Right, we went through Chodesh Alvavis, actually, we did Shara B'tochen. So it's a tremendous chizuk that a person gets, living Chodesh Alvavis, Shara B'tochen. B'tochen is a very important thing. A person should have faith, a person should have amunah. A person should have B'tochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'tochen is a gewaltige yemidah on your problems. But if somebody rings your doorbell and he unleashes his sorrows, don't give him a lecture on B'tochen. Don't tell him, have B'tochen. If you have a few dollars, give him. If you don't have that, give him a shoulder. Give him an ear. Listen to him. B'tochen is very good. This is on your own problems. Your problems can be a big Baal B'tochen. But on somebody else's sorrows, you can't be a Baal B'tochen. Do whatever you can B'derech HaTeva to try to help him out. That's the idea. Zoich Chukas HaTorah, which you see by Poraduma, it metam etoheir and metar temeim, and it has the dual properties, is not just by Poraduma. So it's Chukas HaTorah, and the whole Torah. But the same midah, depending where it is, could be either good or bad. Depends how you use it and when you use it. So, so let me just tell you a little interesting maestro over here. And that was one of the great rabbis, one of the great rabbis, was of Shmelke, Rebbe of Shmelke. Rebbe Shmelke was a brother of the Haflor. Rebbe Shmelke was nifted in 1778. He was the brother of the Haflor. The Haflor became Rebbe in Frankfurt, by the way. Haflor was a Chassidish Rebbe. Imagine, he became a Rebbe in a far-flung place, going to Frankfurt, which was Nusach Ashkenaz, Sheba Ashkenaz, understand? And which is the opposite of the world of Chassidus, totally. And he loved him. He loved him. But, of course, Frankfurt daven Nusach Ashkenaz, and even though privately he would daven Nusach Ari, if he would, I mean, that was his own personal Nusach. But in Frankfurt, of course, that's in the for the camp, he mishan from the Kehillah, and that's what he did. He led the Kehillah the way the Kehillah was supposed to kill him. There's another brother in Ishkodesh, he was the Rebbe of Chassam Sofer, the Haflor. So the Haflor's brother was Rebbe Shmelke of Nicholsburg. Just to give you an idea, Rebbe Shmelke of Nicholsburg, by the way, had Talmidim, give you some Talmidim. Moshe Leib Sasever was his Talmud. The Chosin Lublin was a Talmud of the Rebbe of Shmelke. Chosin Samagi, Rebbe Yisrael Badisher, this is all that was that Chabura. That Chabura, Imam is the great, the Gedoy Loyal, the Gedoy Shayoyin, and these were that Chabura, Rebbe of Shmelke. So Rebbe Shmelke, the Maisim, when he came to the Hachtorah, when he came to the crowning, to the ceremony, accepting his position as well, so the protocol was that he meets the community for the first time, and they would come to do Makabal upon him. What come to be Makabal? That was in Europe when a Rav arrived the first time. Mamish was like Mamish Kovet Melochim. Rav would come with a chariot with horses, and the whole Kehillah would come out. And Moshe would arrive with flags. You see, Kovet HaTorah really at its best when the new Rav came to town. So prior to coming into Nicholsburg, where he knew there was awaiting this big ceremony, so before he goes out to greet the people, so he goes into a private room. One of his Talmidim followed him. So Rebbe Shmelke closes the door, and he sees him. Rebbe Shmelke is talking to himself. And he says to him, Shmelke, he called himself Shmelke. He says, Shmelke, you're such a great tzaddik. He says to him, we're so happy. He was imitating the people that I was going to be talking. We're so happy that you're with us. You're such a chocham. You're such a goy. You're so smart. You're so good, and you're such a big onav also. And he says, the Talmud could not believe that Rebbe Shmelke was giving himself all this kovet, talking about all his greatness. And then he continued further, he says, we're so happy the people were saying, he's saying it to himself, as if the people are saying it. We're so happy that you accepted to be our Rav. Who could be greater? We're the most fortunate city to have such a great Rav like you. The Talmud said, Rebbe, why are you doing this? Why are you saying this about yourself? And he said, listen, he says, a few minutes, he said, I go out to the crowd, and the people were showering me, I know, with all these type of compliments. So Chazal said the following. Now we all know this Chazal. Yei kevoid chaveyocha chobev olachu kishloch. All this peric base. The cover of your chaver, right, should be just as important as your own. The honor of your chaver. So again, what does it simply mean? It means that you should honor somebody else just like you wish yourself to be honored. Yei kevoid chaveyocha, the cover. Notice, hold your chaver's cover should be just as important to you. It should be makbid on your chaver's cover as a person, b'derech hatev, is makbid on his own cover. That's a simple translation. There's another pshat. You know, when somebody else gives you kovet, of course you feel honored. You take pride. But imagine a person standing in front of the mirror and is giving himself kovet. Okay, say, Shmelke, you're so great, you're so handsome, you're so smart. You're such a tremendous going. A person gives himself kovet, he knows it's not worth anything. The kovet that your chaver gives you should be kishaloch, like the kovet you give yourself. The cover that anybody else gives you, you should not be makvid on that. Okay, it should be nothing to you. So therefore I said, I was first giving cover to myself, just like that's garnish, I know it's nothing. I know the people are soon going to give me all this cover, so I should have the right attitude. I should become a spoil, I should become a mogaiva. So the cover of the chaver that you're going to give me should be kishalof, should be like the cover I'm giving myself. This is what I've heard of the great tzaddikim.